Alright. Well, firstly, welcome to the dark side. This is not a talk about Linux. I must confess that I do run Linux sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit.
But only to play games. And if anybody is here from Adelaide, then you might want to keep a lookout for the February org meeting where I'm actually going to be talking about what I do with Linux, which is play games, including Counter-Strike. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that, we're here to talk about verified executable. I first presented a formulative idea of this at Org2UK, which was a UG conference in the year 2000 in Canberra. It was a proof of concept of an idea that I had a couple of years before that. It's scary to think it's been going for about 5 years. And it came about basically because of, at the time, there was a lot of discussion about Trojan horses, exploits, actually making breaking into a system and using it not just for hosting porn for your mates or whatever, but actually trying to take down other servers and do generally nasty stuff. But it seems like the internet environment changed a bit. At the time, the work that I presented was only work with statically linked binaries. What it actually does, it modifies the exec part, basically the code that the kernel follows before it decides to actually execute the binary. There's already some checking that goes on before the binary is executed. It does things like looks to see if the binary header actually isn't executable. Make sure that you have permission to run it. Does a few other checks. Actually checks to see if it's a shell script and does some other fuzzy things on there. What the modification did is it performed an MD5 hash on this copy of that binary. It then checked that. What it did was check that MD5 hash against the preloaded hash that we trust in the kernel at boot, and I'll go through how that happens a bit later. And if those match, we can be confident that on this copy that we're trying to execute hasn't been modified and is a good candidate for execution. Now, just doing the MD5 hash every time pretty much sucks. My measurements were about 170% performance degradation. So it's almost twice as long to just MD5 the file every time you execute. Which is a pretty sucky thing to do. So what I did to overcome that was to cache the result of the comparison. Now it happens that there was a pretty convenient place to do that. And it's in a structure in the kernel called the vnode, which is a chunk of information you derive about a file. The kernel does a lot of work to actually gather all this information up, build this node structure. And so it keeps these in memory for as long as it can until it reaches the maximum number of V-nodes and then starts to recycle. So I thought this was a really good place to keep this comparison. It's associated with the pile anyway. By actually taking that result, so when you unavoidably you do the MD5 hash once, it does the check, puts a tick in the V-node. Next time you try and execute that thing, looks, this has been checked already, it's been ticked okay, I'll just try it. By doing that, we went from being 170% to being undetectable. So, yes, very good. There are two answers to that. One answer was, at the time, I just used a concept that was in NetBSD kernel called secure level. When you crank the secure level up, there's differing levels for the secure level. When you put it up to a certain level, you're no longer allowed to drive to draw these devices. You're no longer allowed to change amount of points. You're no longer allowed to do a lot of things. The verified exec, at the time it was called Trump's exec, I changed the name later, relied on the secure level to correctly do that. The work that I've done after that, and I'm going to put this again later, actually means that you don't need to worry about that. At the time in Org2K, I had not, it was only for stack binders. So shared libraries were a problem. You could inject code into a shared library and have a dynamic executable get compromised or exploited that way. And the way that I had actually done this, it only did MD5. The framework was very tightly bound to that, and it wasn't easy to actually put another hash method in, say, Java or JavaScript or whatever you like. After the conference, I did some more work with another developer called JRP. We cleaned up the code, firstly, broke out the verified exec stuff out of the tightly bound into the kernel exec, put a framework in place where you could actually put more into the kernel and in a reasonably unobtrusive way. You have to do some work, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And at that time, it was pointed out to me that really what I was doing is not signing anything. I'm just verifying the integrity of the executable, if you like. So I changed the name to the verified exec and did the great thing of actually committing this to NetBSD. I'm actually a NetBSD developer, so theoretically I'm not allowed to do that at the time, Carol. Which actually what happened. Probably all pretty familiar with open software and the bazaar and all that. And let's say that on the NetBSD mailing list, I had some discussion about what I've done. And a lot of that discussion, it actually tends to happen in open source. The most vocal people you ever have are the ones that hate what you've done and think it's a pile of poo. And that can be pretty hard to deal with, but I've got over it. One of the problems that pointed out, as the gentleman here is saying, is that if you can't trust, if you don't have control over your media, then you have a problem. If something can sneak in behind the kernel's back, then your caching means that you may not pick up on the modification. My argument at the time was that it wasn't meant to run on a fan or NFS. Doesn't wasn't in the, if you like, in my design spec for handling that. I wanted to secure the box that, if you like, in security terms, was my boundary, my trust within the walls of the PC. The kernel had control over all the hardware devices in there. Well, you would hope. Doesn't you've got more problems than you know about. So in that context, it worked. People were happy with that. Some people were rather unhappy about that. And which, like I say, was it's tough to deal with, but Instead of getting angry at these people, I thought, well, what can I do about it? What can we do about the problem? The problem that we have is with the cache. Because we've actually just cached the result of the verification, the kernel is going to say, oh, I checked that already. Somebody goes and slips some modified code in. The kernel is not going to know about that because of this assumption that it had total control over it. Interesting thing about doing this, and this is something that a similar software modification for OpenBSD, I think he's done it for FreeBSD, I'm not sure if he's actually got Linux working yet. There's a thing called Trojan Proof, which is an interesting thing. It's very, 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 very much like my initial thoughts of what Verified Exec was to do. The author denies that, but what can I do about it? I don't know. Those guys handle untrusted media. They do that by saying, this is untrusted, just to check it every time. It's not good enough, guys. Sure, what it will do is if you have a short running executable like the LS, then the next time somebody runs LS, it'll pick it up, fine with you. what if you're crazy enough to run send off NFS? Long running executable? The check only happens at startup. What happens if somebody overwrites a binary? What happens? What happens is that the virtual memory, if you force the pages out of the virtual memory system, which at least on the PC is rather easy to do, you can do that as an unprivileged user. Or you just generate enough memory pressure that the pages get thrown away anyway. And then force the execution of sendmail, the sendmail daemon. And part of the page, or part of sendmail is not in memory. The virtual memory page system will bring it back. Believe it or not, that is a hole. I had some demonstration code. I have not got time to show people, unfortunately, but you can actually have something running, flush the executable out of memory, copy an exploited executable over the top of the old one, force the code path to load the virtual memory to load another page, and run an exploit. Can be done. This is why just checking every time is not good enough. This was the problem that I had. I realized that there needed to be something better if you want to run this on a SAN NFS, something that you don't trust. It's quite easy for somebody to get access to the underlying file systems or just map the drive in the SAN environment and you're hosed. From what I can see, that the only thing that you can do in this situation is actually verify the pages as they come in. Initially, people asked me about this and I rejected the idea because actually having to track the fingerprint for each single page is politely unwieldy. It really sucks because assuming that you've got 8K pages, you have a megabyte executable like Emacs or something like that. Emacs is more than that these days. Much more than that. Yeah. It's not something that you want to do. It's bitch to generate, bitch to maintain. It's just not nice. We want to be able to do this in a smarter way. Then I had a look at what I've done with verified executable. I've actually given you a level of trust of the on-disk executable when you're loading it in. What if you generate the actual page fingerprints at the same time? So you use the verified executable framework to say, yes, I have confidence that the executable I've just loaded is the one that I expect it is. Fingerprint matches, so I have some confidence that we've got the right thing. At the same time, generate page level fingerprints. It's important that they both happen at the same time. which is something I'll explain in a little slide, I think. So you go through, check the MD5 hash, SHA-1, whatever takes your fancy. Overall, that's fine. At the same time, we've been reading, we've been tucking away the page fingerprints. So that nobody can actually get in between the decision that we trust the entire file and we generate the page fingerprints. It's important that we do them both at the same time. If the whole thing is okay, page fingerprints are assumed to be valid. If the whole fingerprint is not okay, then we just toss the stuff away. That way, we have our page fingerprints, but we only need to maintain the overall fingerprint of the executable. Okay, so we have fingerprints of the individual pages. Cool. What do we need to do now? We need to modify the pager code, the virtual memory pager, that actually pulls these pages in from storage, whatever storage that may be. Actually added in the verified exec code at that point. So when the VM pager brings the page in from memory, not from memory, sorry, from storage, fingerprint is evaluated at that time, looks up the list of fingerprints for that particular executable, validates that fingerprint is the same. If it's the same, the VM pager is happy. If it's not, we get an error and things die a horrible death, because basically it's the same as if you'd had an error on swap. You're toast. And as a the second bullet there, yes, I've got it myself. That's... Uh-oh. Alright. What does this mean? It means we actually don't need to trust any of the binaries on the system. You don't need to actually have control over the server. You can have files served off anywhere you like. If those files are modified, then it will be flagged and the execution will actually stop at that point. That's a rather nasty sort of denial of service, but you've got the choice between either you've had something that's been mangled and you run it or you stop. In this case, we really want just to stop. No more. We can't actually... Well, yeah, it depends where you have the files. If you have the files locally, then yeah, you can just get yourself in foot. And actually, the kernel stops you doing that. You know, part of what Verified Exec does is that automatically anything that's on the list of fingerprints is made manually. It's enforced. But yes, we can verify that an executable action. It is unmodified, and it stays that way. And as I say there, we've actually extended the security perimeter. No longer is the box your security perimeter. It's now pretty much not there. Oh, shit. All right. I just actually race through that. Well, I think we might actually have some time to do a quick demo. If I can get this working. What I've done is submitted this code to the person who did the actual virtual memory system on the FPSD. And he's given me some feedback on what I've done and saying some suggestions on what further work I need to do to actually get it into a form that's fit for the NetBSD kernel. Let's be clear about this. I said before I have committed the verified exec to NetBSD current. The version that is there in there at the moment does not have the virtual memory pager verification. So basically it's just for controlling your box. That works fine as far as I know. And just need to get some cleanups done for the paging stuff in, and then I'll put the pager version into the system. Now, like I say, I have raced through there. Has anybody got any questions? Either that, or I can actually verify the otherwise, I can try and show you what. Yes, up the back there. Yes, there's in the kernel loader, there's let me go back. In the actual file that has the fingerprints list in it, it gets shoved into the kernel at boot time by a special loader. There's a flag to input on, you can say this is untrusted. And at that point, it goes, I need to do a page-level verification on this. So you do have a choice. You can have everything on the local machine, if it's your local machine and you decide that you can trust that enough, have all that just doing the caching bit and not worrying about doing page-level verification. But if you MFS mount something from some suspect character like him, you might want to have all those executables marked as untrusted and do page level verification on those. Yeah, you actually blow the concept of command paging at that time. Only once, though. This is the thing, and that's why you don't really see the performance impact that much if you actually, on the light CD, there's a demo system of NetBSD. I'm not sure if it runs on the box or what. And if you run that up, not sure if Dan's put the notes on there, but what you'll see, and it's more pronounced with Box because it's running on a very slow machine, is if you do something like LS, there's a reasonable pause before it will actually bring up the results. If you run LS again, it does it straight away. That is the impact of the verified exec working. That first time through, you take admittedly a big hit on evaluating that, making sure that it's all right. Second time through, because the results came, then it just comes up and says, oh, that's checked already, does it. So, but pushing out the pages that, or things that are, shall we say, trusted first would be a good optimization, actually. Thank you. Hello. Yeah, palladium and that sort of stuff. Palladium and, yeah, yes. And that would be cool, because it means one of the problems we have at the moment is actually bootstrapping this thing. You have to be able to get a list of fingerprints that you trust into the kernel somehow. And doing that... Yeah, well, that's the problem. If you don't trust local media, you have a real difficulty, because that bootstrap is an issue, and it's something that maybe the hardware level can help with. Yeah, well, that's pretty much it. If you want the 10-second sound grab, this is kernel level tripwire. That's pretty much what it is. How big's the list? It depends what you want. On here, on the there's a lot of different versions on there. 24,000 lines. That's probably gone over the board. That one's a couple of meg. But that's, yeah. Yeah. The bootstrap issue I'm sort of leaving at the moment. It's something that I need to work on. And I want to actually get the page level stuff in, because I think that's, to me, that's more exciting, because it means that it's not just for the box. Yeah, it means that basically that problem goes away. And a lot of the arse biting that I've got at the moment will go away as well. Yeah, I've been hand arse for a long time. Again, it depends on the executable. NetBSD usually runs with an 8K page, so you have an MP5 or SHA-1 string for it. Well, won't just grow and grow and grow because they're at the moment they're attached to the V nodes. The V nodes, there's a limit to the number of V nodes that you can have on memory in memory, and that's actually a dynamically settable parameter. So it won't actually boundlessly grow. When the V node gets recycled to memory that is used by possibly by the fingerprints, gets thrown away or it gets put back into the malloc pool and the V node gets scrubbed, part of the scrubbing process. Yeah, 15, 16 bytes per page. Depends whether you use MD5 or SHA-1. So it's not a huge amount of memory. At the moment, it's actually something I didn't mention in the book was that as a byproduct of me doing the way that I've done the shared library stuff, which may change, but let's not go into that. You automatically get the ability to apply that to any file that you like. So if you decide your semal.cf is important to you, you can apply it to that. And if somebody manages to modify the semal.cf somehow, because when the system is running in full secure level, you won't be allowed to modify that file anymore. Even if they manage to, semal will get a read error. It will say, permission denied on that file, which any file that you open, you can apply that. On the register, back there. Yes, I've had that suggestion before, and that's something that, like I say, I wanted to actually focus on doing the page level stuff first. There are some other applications that actually have the same sort of tricky bootstrapping problem as in NetBSD, particularly I don't know if people know about the CGD, which is the cryptographic disk device. Basically, you encrypt your file system, and you need the key to actually unlock that. So bootstrapping that is much the simplest sort of problem. So there needs to be a generic sort of framework for handling those sorts of bootstrapping issues, and I'm hoping somebody else will do it for me. Yes. Peace trace, yes. I don't. No, that's all right. That's fine. I'm trying to. I'd need to check whether it would work or not, and if it does, then I don't think it would be very difficult to check if the executable is actually being verified, then say no, denied. But it's the same sort of thing as you try and trace a CMD program or something like that and get denied. It's a good thought. I should close that. Thank you. Yes. Indeed, you can. Part of what Secure Level does for you is turn that off. As I said before, NetBSD has a concept of Secure Level. Starts at -1, where you can trash anything. Goes up through three different levels, 0, 1, 2. As you go further up, you're allowed to do less of those sorts of things. When you get to 2, you're not allowed to scribble on DevMem. I don't think, from memory, you can't even open DevMem anymore. You're not allowed to even look at it. You can't open a raw disk device. So all those sorts of things get neatly tied off by using Secure Level. So, and that's part of what the Verified Exec is built on, that sort of layer being enforced, making sure that you can't get past and go around and scribble on raw devices or scribble on memory. You don't. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. That's when I was supposed to shut up and start answering questions. But it worked out well. When the thing about the page here is that it knows that it's a text page and it's binary executable. It doesn't bother putting those to swap. You don't need to. They don't get rewritten. They don't get rewritten. They're position independent code man. And so it just throws that away and bring it back from disk, because there's no point in putting it in swap. There was somebody else? Anybody else? Single user mode. This is the same sort of operating procedure as is recommended for Tripwire. Basically, go into single user mode, do the update, your signatures, reboot. So it's a pain. You really don't want to be using this thing as a development workstation, something that you're playing with every day. This is meant for a firewall, sort of router, sort of situation where you set the thing up and you just want it to run. You want it to run and you want it to make sure that it keeps running. And you want it to be make sure that it is not exploited or used for purposes that you don't intend it to be. It's what this is for. So yeah, in fact, when you push the Secure Level up, the pseudo device that allows you to put certain fingerprints into the kernel is turns off as well, so you can't actually feed more fingerprints in one when you've raised the level of Secure Level. Acknowledge, yes. Well, yes? If you're running 24/7 and you're running it on a single machine, you're crazy. It doesn't happen. So you would take one down, do the update. Well, if you only got two, you take one down, do the update, bring it back up, do the same for the other one. You can't get 24/7 on a single machine. No, not really. Hardware failure is your friend in that case. Even if you've got the software working 100%, it's something will stop. You guarantee it. Anything can happen. Alright, thanks guys. That was